We pray, Lord, that you would bless these readings to our hearts tonight, and you would help us to take the message you have for us at this time. Well, this reading has been in my mind for several weeks now, and just this recurring question keeps coming back, and it's, how much is Jesus worth? How much is Jesus worth? And it's a great question that I've been asking myself, and it's a question that I want to put to you this Easter weekend, this Good Friday. How much is Jesus worth? Another question would be, how much are you worth? I don't mean your net worth in terms of how much money you have in the bank, but how much are you worth as a person? See, the truth is that no matter how much money we have in the bank or what we've achieved in life or not achieved in life, God has a different value system from the ways of this world. And the good news is that you are very precious to God. Within the last year, Tracy Fraser came to faith in this church. I'm sure that most of you will know who Tracy is. But suffice to say, it is a great transformation that is occurring in her life since she's come to know Jesus. And it's a great encouragement to me to see the love that is shared by the members of this church for Tracy. We see this love shared in other ways and in other families and other situations, but it particularly speaks to me about the grace of God when I see people helping Tracy to understand more about Jesus, helping Tracy to follow Jesus, helping Tracy with the implications of following Jesus and being his disciple. But you know that Tracy came to faith through a lady called Mae Nicholson, who spoke at this church. And the name of Mae Nicholson's organization is called Preshel, which is Gaelic for precious. And I just think that's lovely. And when Tracy was baptized recently, and we were preparing her for baptism, I asked her the question, how do you know that God loves you? And we had some pictures, just like we got pictures tonight, and she pointed at the cross. How do you know that God loves you? And she pointed at the cross. And so she came to faith through a mission called Precious, which was telling her about how precious God's love is for her. And in her own way of understanding the good news, when she thinks about, is she precious to God? How does she know, with everything else going on, that she's precious? She points to the cross. And that is what I need to remember. Is that what you need to hear tonight? That you are precious to God because he died on the cross for you. But as I walked through the town today, and I was really excited. I saw these children every street corner. They had these color maps, and it seemed that they were on a Christian Good Friday church activity. And I was great. It's probably the East Church that's doing it, you know, because I passed the East Church, and I stopped this family and I said, "Can you just tell me who's organizing this?" And they said, "Oh, it's the Eastgate Center." And they showed me this Easter egg hunt with the bunny and the eggs, and there was no reference to Jesus. And I'm not quite sure whether they were ticking off the names of the shops. I didn't quite see it, but I'm sure it's a very generous thing that the businesses in the town are doing, and they're probably being incredibly kind, and that's a really good thing. But it just, there wasn't a strong Christian presence on the high street today, and it reminded me that for many people, this is just another day. For many people, Jesus is not precious. Jesus is not valuable. Jesus, did he die on the cross? Who cares? Who cares? See, Christ in the Easter story is not precious. Judas betrays him for 30 pieces of silver. That's not a lot of money. The story is told in some of the Gospels alongside the story of a woman who anointed Jesus' head and his feet with this jar of ointment, which was worth a year's wages. And everyone said, what a waste! What a waste! And he said, no, it's not a waste. This is for my burial. Because Jesus was precious to Mary. But Judas, the sum of money is the same sum of money that you would give for a slave. To buy a slave, it was not a lot of money at all. And it seems that Judas was probably quite disillusioned by the time he had gone to the priests, because it's such a small amount of money. He couldn't have done it for the money. It just is incredible. This Caiaphas who said these words, it's better for you that one man die for the people. He said, this Jesus is not important. Let's get rid of him. It'll be better for us all if we just get rid of him. Not precious. What about the crowd? The crowd, do you want Barabbas, the murderer, the terrorist, or do you want Jesus of Nazareth, who spent the last 3 years healing the sick, breathing hope into so many lives? We'll take Barabbas, please. Not precious. Jesus is not precious. And it's a scandal, and it's a tragedy. And would it be any different today? You know, we sometimes look back on past generations and we can be a little bit aloof and think, you know, if it was us, we'd make a different decision. But would we? Would our society make a different decision about Jesus? Would our society be able to handle the challenge that he would bring? What about Peter? He couldn't understand why Jesus had to suffer and to die. So when the crucial moment comes, with curses and with swearing, he says, I never knew the man. I never knew him. Denied him. Not precious. Not precious. And when we are asked to give an account of our faith, if we are given an opportunity, do we also deny Jesus? Is Jesus precious enough for us to share? We share about that which is precious to us. You know, one of the most precious things are our children or our grandchildren. And it doesn't take much motivation for us to talk about our children and our grandchildren. And especially grandparents, you see them with the photographs. And they're showing all the photographs. And there's no stopping them. Because these grandchildren are precious to them. But how precious is Jesus? But you are precious to God. You are precious to God. God gave his son for you. How do you know the value of something? You know the value of something by what you're prepared to pay for it. And sometimes, if you have the means to do so, you might buy something which has got quite a high price. You could have bought something a bit cheaper, but you went and chose to pay the higher price because you saw the value. So we know the value of something by the price that we're prepared to pay. Another thing helps us to know the value is whether it had who it belonged to in the past. So if Kenny was going to buy a guitar, and he would like pay the normal price for it, but if I was to say to him, that guitar was owned by John Lennon, then he'd probably pay a bit more for it because it was owned by John Lennon. The Bible says that you are made in the image of God. And although we've all messed up and humanity has messed up, you cannot take away the fact that we are made in the image of God. And when we come back to God, we belong to him. Do you know this evening, Good Friday evening, do you know that you belong to God? Because that's going to make all the difference. Do you know how much was paid for you? The Bible says that all of us are, I don't know if you know the song, I'm sure Kenny knows it, I've mentioned him twice now in the sermon, but Bob Dylan says, we've got to serve somebody. You know that song? We've got to serve somebody. And it's a truth, it's a great truth, that we're made to serve something. It may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but we've got to serve somebody. And the fact is that the Bible says that we're either slaves to sin or we're slaves to God. And the power of sin in our lives takes hold of us, and we need to be set free from that. And we can only be set free from that if someone is willing to pay the price to set us free. The metaphor is of the slave market. The Bible word is redeem, or to pay the ransom price. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Redemption means to set free. And we can be set free if we put our faith in what Jesus has done for us. We can be set free if we put our faith in his precious, holy blood. It's a gift that's held out to us. And it's just like any gift. You go and the gift still has to be purchased before it's given. And what God's saying to us tonight is that I've purchased this gift of relationship, of salvation. I've purchased it. My son has paid the price. And I offer you freely that gift. And in 1 Peter, it reminds us, for those who believe, that Christ is precious. So although Christ was rejected and not precious to those who put him on the cross, for those who believe in him, Christ is very precious. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. You have been bought by God. You belong to God. And the implications of that is we are to honor him with our whole lives, not just with our lips, but with our hearts and with our lives. And one of the ways that Peter tells us to do that is that we're to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. I love the fact that it's Peter that's writing these words. Peter, who denied Jesus, is saying to us, you are precious to God. You who believe in what Christ has done, Christ who chose you before the creation of the world, who was, the plan of God was for him to die on the cross even before he created the world. How amazing is that? And Peter's unpacking this for us, and he's saying, don't be like those who devalue Christ. Don't be like those who reject Christ. But spend your whole life declaring the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And one of the ways that we do that is in obedience to Christ, is as on the Last Supper when he said, remember me in this way. And tonight we're going to take bread and break it and share it amongst us and share the wine and remember his body broken and his blood shed for us. And in that way we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. And in this meal, there's so many pictures. It's the greatest picture that we're going to see this weekend. We have lots of wonderful pictures on the wall, but the greatest picture is here on the table. The symbolism that Christ gave us of the body broken and the blood shed that will inspire us to go out this Easter weekend and to share with others that which we have received from him. And he's done it all for us. He's paid the price. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So we need to learn to receive, to believe and receive. Every day, believe and receive his grace tonight, this Easter weekend. Let us pray. Lord, we know that you are precious. And we thank you that you remind us tonight through your words why you are precious. And I pray that as we take bread and as we take wine tonight, that we would have communion with you, and that even as a church together, that we would draw near to you in a special way, that we'd be able to offer you our thanks and our praise, and that we would once again, I think about the cross that you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again, I thank you. Once again, I give you my life. May that be our experience tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen.